You're saving your money by lending it to Uncle Sam.
Big thanks to Dustin and Paul from the Flicks and Friends podcast. Dustin and I go way back. We played in two bands together. We discussed it at the beginning of this interview. He's always been a nice guy. I always have thought very highly of him. Paul, I remember back in the day, I was intimidated by him. He was just so freaking cool. I couldn't stand it. And he's still a really down-to-earth guy, still a really nice guy. We kind of caught up on this podcast. And I think they're going to do some really good episodes together. I can't wait to hear more from the Flicks and Friends podcast. You can check them out on iTunes or Spotify. They are basically on every podcast platform as the Flicks and Friends. Thanks again, guys, for doing the interview. And thank you for listening. And I'll see you next week with the next episode. Dustin, been like a really long time. You moved to Florida. I haven't talked to you like basically since then. Maybe just occasionally online.
You remember that one time we were in a band together?
Yeah, we were in a band together. You know, I was thinking about that. We did. So you joined, I think we were in two bands together technically, because I think there was like a period of time where you were playing bass with the Guns of August, but we never actually did any shows. That was like right before the Guns of August broke up.
Oh, yeah. The guy.
And then,
Eulogy of Heroes.
Yeah, and then we did Eulogy of Heroes, and I had like songs about Transformers and stuff. That was when I first started writing songs that was like about like nerdy stuff instead of like, you know, like my heart being broken or something.
Yeah.
Stuff you're actually interested in.
Right, yeah, right, exactly.
That good.
So why do you think I've had two different iterations of Dragon Ball Hardcore group, which has...
That's awesome. What are their names? Do they have clever names?
Well, the first one was just X Kakarot X.
I remember that.
The most recent iteration, which I think is still on Spotify, it's definitely on YouTube, is Kakarot UI.
That's awesome.
It's just like we did like a five song. We did two music videos. Well, you know, the anime music videos, but yeah. Every single song is just about an individual character, and they're like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long.
How long ago was X Kakarot X?
Woo! So that was 2007.
I was going to guess that. I think I remember X Kakarot X.
Do you know, I was in Carry Your Own. I don't know if you.
Yes. That band. Okay, yes.
I was the vocalist for Carry Your Own.
Okay. I know who you are now. Like, yeah. So the thing was, is like, I knew I recognized you on Facebook, but I wasn't sure where I knew you from. Now it literally just all clicked. I know exactly. Wow. Do you have a tattoo on your elbow? Yes, I remember exactly. Yeah, I remember you guys played, I believe you played at a Stretch Armstrong show in Spartanburg. Did y'all open for Stretch? Or maybe you might have just been there.
Chris shouted us out.
I remember this, yes.
So they played, I don't remember who they played with. It might have been the August Burns Red show where they closed. Does that sound like, did you go to an August Burns Red show out there?
I don't remember if it was the same show, but I did go to an August Burns Red show in Spartanburg, yeah.
So, well, and they played like every big show over there, and I went to every single one. But one night, Chris shouted me and Chaz out in Carry Your Own.
That was it.
Which, yeah. You know, we squealed like little girls.
I remember that night. I actually talk about that night. That's crazy.
Small world, man.
I had no idea. I talk about that night because I remember they did like a 20-year straight edge who's here's been 5 years straight edge. Like they did that whole thing. And yeah. That was like, you know, some of the members of Stretch were like, they had never, ever drank alcohol or anything. So it was like, they were like straight edge. Like they're literally their entire life.
Cause Chris has been straight edge his entire life.
That's so wild.
Yeah. I can't claim that anymore, which I'm glad I never got straight edge tattoos, but
yeah, I heard that.
I got some X's back there.
not saying that I'm like a partier by any means, but I'm almost 40, and when I grill, I might have a beer from time to time.
Wait, he said, you don't know this. You don't know this.
Are you still straight edge, Bo?
I don't know, because I think I broke edge at some point, and then I went back to being edge again whenever my son was born, actually.
I don't think it's like one of those. That's the thing too, is like, you know, it's such a an elitist mindset, because it got to a point where like I would still live the straight edge lifestyle, but I just was like, man, I don't want to be affiliated with the people that are so super proud of it that they're like, you're not fucking straight edge and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, dude, that's just, I don't have that mindset. I did it for me in a sense to clean my life up, and it worked until I got to a point where I was responsible and older. I didn't touch a beer until I was almost 30 after the first time I ever drank, which was years before I was straight edge.
Yeah.
And so, like, it wasn't a big deal to me. Like, I was a mature adult with a full-time job and a mortgage. I was like, I think I can handle a beer.
Yeah.
I had a similar
kind of thing. Basically, I got into making beer, and because I was like in the like Linux and hacker community, and like making beer is like a big part of that community. And so I kind of got into like that whole side of it, and I would make like craft beers and drink one, you know what I mean? Like I was never like, and it was, I was always into the process more than I actually was into drinking. And then at some point, like, Matt and I actually went and saw Comeback Kid in Greenville, and, somebody there that we knew from back in the day was still edge. And I was like, shit, like, I just like gave up on that. And my son was born around the same time, and I just said, well, what if I did it again? So I've been straight edge since that day. So it was about 4 years ago, but it's not like you're saying, like, I kind of got out of the like culture of it. Like, I'm not really like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with addiction or anything either. So it was never like a big thing for me, you know?
Same. It was just a way to hold myself accountable. That's the way I saw it. And until, like I said, I got to the point where I was mature enough, and it got me through a phase of my life where I could have made a lot of bad choices had I done all that stuff. But like I said, by the time I started drinking, I was married. I had a kid.
Me too. I didn't have a kid. But
you know, I was responsible. And I also, you know, my wife was straight edge too for the longest time. We broke edge together on a cruise. Bahama Mama style.
That's hilarious.
So I was like, we just kept seeing all these really bright blue frilly drinks, and I was like, that's so good.
Yeah.
I said, we're like, screw it, let's get one. Like, who are we trying to impress? That's what we're talking about. Funny thing is, like, she actually has vegan and straight edge tattoos, and she's neither anymore.
Yeah. I'm vegetarian, but I couldn't hold to the vegan. It gets too hard.
She was vegan for 10 years.
Dude, and, so hard.
It was, you know, when after she got pregnant, she had real massive iron deficiency.
Mm.
And it was either take those giant horse pills every day on top of all the other prenatal crap that she was taking and stuff. So she was like, nah, I don't want to do that anymore. So she just moved to just chicken and fish for a while. But now she's full on. Like, she just eats everything now.
That's the weird thing about, like, so, like, my son, we don't have any dietary restrictions on him. Like, whenever he's at school, they eat like turkey burgers and stuff. He eats it. He doesn't even know. So whenever he's home, he's eating Impossible chicken nuggets and like fake hot dogs and stuff. But he has no clue.
We do that for our kids anyway, but especially for my daughter, because she refuses to eat vegetables. So she gets the fake corn dogs, the fake chicken nuggets, just because they're better for them, and all that stuff is, I mean, still high processed soy, but we get the actual veggie corn dogs and stuff. So it's the only way to get them in them. Like, and I'm not averse to it, but that's the thing, is like, we she's got a couple of friends, and I've met people who are like, I want to make my kid vegetarian. I'm like, good luck.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm scared to, like, I don't want to. I've seen too many horror stories of like kids not getting the nutrition they need and stuff. But then, you know, I also understand that, like, if you do it right, I just know that I'm not responsible enough to do it right. I'm like giving my kid like Pop Tarts and shit. Like, he's not like eating real healthy, you know.
They're kids though, man. They're more resilient than people give them credit for.
And but I think it's funny though, because he grows up that way. He's like the only kid at his preschool that's like cooking tofu and broccoli in the little fake kitchen.
My son's into all that stuff. Because Steph still, because she was vegan for so long, loves vegetarian dishes, which we still eat from time to time. We usually try to have because it's just better for me. I have a heart condition, so I can't eat as much the way I used to.
Yeah.
And my son loves tofu, and he loves all that stuff. He's like the least picky kid you've ever met in your life. Like, what 9-year-old, you know, prefers to go eat sushi before everything else?
So, my kid's scared to try sushi for sure.
Some adults are, so it's fair.
So are you also in Florida, or you're still in this area?
I am in this area. I live, you know, because, you know, me and Blake had that podcast before this, Objectively Subjective.
Oh, man. Yeah, all of this is colliding now. I'm sorry, man. I completely understand now.
Yeah, so yeah.
That was a good podcast.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. We're thinking about doing maybe something bi-monthly for wrestling, but it's just one of those things that's such a flooded podcast market that unless you do something very different, what's the point? But I told him, I was like, dude, him and Nick sit around and talk about wrestling all the time anyway. So, but we're also lazy. So I wouldn't even be involved with this if Dustin didn't ask me. So
yeah,
that's how lazy I am. Because I think this is what kind of happened with the other podcast, which we really enjoyed doing and I had a good time. It's just life caught up to us and it ended up being a lot of work for me. And I couldn't find time to edit and do all this stuff. And still my job is very time consuming.
Yeah.
It sucks because I'm gone for basically 12, 13 hours a day just to work. And it just got to the point where it wasn't fun anymore to do the editing and all the stuff like that for me. I was just like, I got burned out.
I definitely hear that.
So I have a box of t-shirts that just are sitting upstairs in my bedroom. Some kids in Africa will get them one day.
What gave you the idea to, why did you want to start a podcast, Dustin?
I've always wanted to. I streamed like during the pandemic. I did the Twitch streaming stuff.
Okay.
Kind of caught traction with that. So it kind of opened me up to just talking to almost, you know, no one in particular. And I know a long time ago, I made a joke on Facebook about me and Paul starting a movie podcast. And then it came to fruition when I decided to go ahead and just do it. Hmm. And Paul was, you know, first in line for me to ask.
So you kind of did it and you were like, well, if I start this thing, he'll be obligated to join in.
I kind of proposed to him, you know, I was like, hey man, you know, I'll do all the work. I just need you to talk.
I said, I can do that. I can talk.
Yeah. And I'll do the rest of the work.
I told him, I said, basically he'll be Howard Stern and I'll be Robin. I'll be his sassy black woman.
Yeah.
It fits perfectly. I'm scared of the Twitch thing. I've tried to start Twitch so many times and I can't do it.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, what's rough is, you know, trying to pay attention to what you're playing and then what people are saying.
Yeah.
If it's too busy, you know, but if you get like an audience between 9 and 14, that's pretty simple. But that is also another very, very flooded form of media because, you know, everyone did that during the pandemic, but it was fun. You know, I mean, I liked playing stuff. I ventured out from what I started streaming to other things and other people like that. So you learn the revenue of what people like. And then I got a job after the pandemic and then I just stopped that altogether.
Hmm. Yeah. So whenever I play, I always think I'm going to, because I play games almost every night, but whenever I do it, I'm doing it to unwind and like, I can't like make myself be like on, you know what I mean? Like whenever I do these podcasts, you know, I usually am just like feeding off the people I'm doing it with. If we have a live chat, then I'm paying attention to that. But I put myself in a different state of mind than, you know, I wouldn't want to do that every single night. Were you streaming every day?
Yeah, I had a consistent schedule during that. It was like it was Monday through Thursday from like noon to 4. And then when I got the job, I tried doing it from after the job, I'd get home, I'd go on at 5 and end at 8:30. And then that just took a toll. That was, I wanted to unwind. I wanted to not have to worry about impressing other people when I just wanted to fuck around and play video games.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that.
That's I don't know if you and I have talked about it, Dustin, before, but Blake and a buddy Vic, they keep telling me that I should have a Twitch channel because every time we all play together, I get real, what's the word? Irate and angry. This is why I mostly play one player games. My wife tells me, she goes, are you even having fun? And I'm like, yeah, I'm having fun. It's challenging. Damn it. I want it to be challenging. Shit. Yeah. So because they're talking about, because I'll be screaming bloody murder. I said, but here's the thing, is like, I would be playing, right? And if I were on Twitch, I could see somebody trying to be a smart ass, and that would just make me angry. I'm like, that just takes all the fun out of it.
So what is your, if you were to, how do you describe your podcast?
It's a comedic take on movies. So like Paul and I discuss, we pick, there's a topic that we pick, then there's the movie we pick, and then we'll watch it and talk about it chronologically in order, but just have fun doing it. So I think we're pretty funny. There's people that might say otherwise, but so
are you you're talking about the movie in chronological order?
Break
it down the film.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, we start from beginning to end. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it'll branch off into other things. Like if we're talking about a certain actor, it'll go off in tangents and stuff like that. Just randomly, like the other day, we were talking about some of the actors in Fanboys when we were doing that the other day. And it branched off us talking about other TV shows and like other characters. And I think at one point, it escalated into an argument between me and Dustin about Boba Fett. And.
Dude, so the Rocketeer.
I meant to tell you this, guys. I was listening to the episode, and uh-huh. There was a point after I listened to it that I wish I would have made then, because you're talking about how the Rocketeer's rocket pack is better than Boba Fett, but it's not. Boba Fett's rocket pack has a fucking missile launcher on it, my guy. All right,
Let me ask you though. When did you learn that that was a rocket?
When you could see the missile sticking out. No, of his back.
Like when has it? Other than just recently on The Mandalorian, has it been established that that is a missile that
he can toys. Shoot? All the old toys you could project.
I don't know about that,
like,
man.
This guy is the same guy. Told me, he goes. I was upset that they showed his face. I was like, bro, they showed his face in 2000. Oh, he's like, I was Jango Fett. I said, he's a fucking clone, my guy.
The clone troopers don't take their helmets off, dude. And
no, but Jango Fett did. We saw what he looked like. We know that he's a clone.
Get out of here, man.
Bo, can you mute him?
When do they Fett. Show his face?
In Attack of the Clones, Jango Fett. He's a clone of Jango Fett. Get out of here,
man. It's whatever.
He's like, I was so bad. Funny. I was like, dude, they showed his face 22 years ago.
Yeah, that's some bullshit. Anyways,
so this is great. This is the content of the show. You guys argue about movies. You have a really good selection of the movies you've done so far. Like Fanboys, I think that's an extremely underrated movie. I never hear anybody talk about Fanboys, but it's a really good movie. It's really funny. I wonder why that is. Why did it kind of fall off of the face of the cult fandom kind of deal?
We talk about this a little throughout the breakdown of the movie. So when's the last time you saw it, Bo?
I saw it like when it was new, and I don't know that I ever saw it again. Yeah, I never saw it again.
So
yeah.
It's extremely problematic.
Very.
Really?
Very much so. Yeah. From the smaller things, like the fact that it, you know, they make a Harry Knowles reference, which Harry Knowles has been since canceled. The fact that they say the derogatory term for a gay person numerous times.
Oh, really?
They say the derogatory term for a mentally handicapped person numerous times.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, when I say numerous, I mean, if you played a drinking game, you'd be drunk halfway through the movie. It's of its time. And we were talking about this too. I was like, I kind of gave it a pass. I was like, oh, it's 1998. I was like, wait, no, the movie's set in 98. It was made in 2009. I was like, that still feels pretty recent. And I was like,
it does. Ugh. Yeah. That's wild. I didn't remember all that.
I think because it's not on streaming anywhere. And we were talking about that too. I bet that has a lot to do with licensing now that Disney owns.
It's got to. Yeah.
Because this was made pre Disney acquisition.
That makes a lot of sense.
But, yeah, so like Dustin, like this is all Dustin's brainchild, this podcast. And I think the original concept is most of the films that Dustin had listed are going to be more nostalgic films and older films. So, and like he was saying, he didn't want to stick to one specific genre. Like some people, most people just do horror all the time or nerd films. And we're trying to branch out. And since he's brought me aboard, we're branching out even a little more. We're going to start doing animated films, new films and stuff too, because I think that'll bring in a more casual audience, hopefully, is that people will see like a newer movies and they're going to go, oh, cool. I just saw this movie.
Yeah.
And then the cool thing about that is that they'll maybe listen to that episode and they'll see, what's this, what's Monster Brawl?
Monster Brawl.
what is all this? Or what are all these old films? Maybe I should check these out or whatever. So, and we're also we've been taking suggestions. We've got emails for movies that we've never seen. So
and that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's great.
We're going to start doing episodes of movies recommended either by guests that come on or just in general people who listen to make us watch movies we've never seen. which, like, we're gonna watch some movie called Ice Pirates, I think it's called.
Dude, I'm so ready. That looks that looks so much fun, man. I'm so stoked for that.
It looks like a Canon Films movie. Like, if you know what production company that is, Bo, but like, they're really famous in the 70s. They made all the Death Wish movies.
Oh, okay.
They did the really bad He-Man, the Masters of the Universe movie.
Dolph Lundgren, yeah.
Yeah, they did Superman 4, the only bad Superman movie from the original series.
I'm looking at the IMDb, and it does look really, really dated and really campy.
Yeah, so it looks probably, he gave us a list of three, and that's the one me and Dustin both looked at immediately and went, that's the movie. That's the one.
That one, yeah.
So I was like, this is going to be a wild ride. So, and like I said, the future, you know, the future, we'll see what the future holds for us. But like I said, this is all his brain, baby, and I'm just along for the ride. So I'm having a good time.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of fun just talking movies, man. When I moved down to Florida, I actually got a job at a movie store.
Oh, that's so awesome.
for about 5 years, that's all I fucking talked about was movies. And after that, it's like it's just a bad habit you can't drop, man, because like when I was younger, me and Paul talked about this. My grandma used to take me to the movies every weekend. So that's also another thing that played into why I wanted to do this, was because it's just something I really love. There's nothing not fun talking about bad movies. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's yeah.
See, because I same thing. My dad was a big moviegoer, so we went to the Dollar Movie Theater. But have you lived in the upstate most of your life?
Oh, yeah. I've lived in Anderson basically all my life, yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if you've ever went out to Greenville when you were younger. How old are you, Bo?
I'm 35. For like a second I was like, how old am I? But yeah, 35.
Because we're in the same age, right?
We are. Yeah, yeah.
So they had the Movies by the Mall in Greenville, which is now church.
They used to have like a dollar movie there.
Yeah. So my dad used to take us there all the time. And then when we moved to Easley, we used to go to the Colony, which is now a mortuary home now. Yeah. Huh. We used to went to go to those dollar movies all the time. And so it's similar to Dustin, like just it was ingrained in me growing up, and me and Dustin talk about movies with each other via text all the time. And so this just felt like a natural progression.
Yeah. Even before like this, even before I took the steps to make this possible, that's all whenever me and Paul would talk, that's all we would talk about.
Yeah.
You know, other than the friend shit, you know, like it was always, have you seen this? Did you go watch this? You know, I'm going to recommend this. You recommend that always. That's all we would really talk about.
I love I love talking about like the production of movies. So like you can't sit through the Lord of the Rings with me, because I'm just like, the whole time we're watching the movie, I'm like, oh, that's really two tables, and they have it separated so that the perspective makes it look like Gandalf, like, you know, and they in order to make the camera work, they had to move the tables. Like you can't watch any movie with me without me like talking about how they made, you know, all these parts of the movie and stuff.
So you're big into cinematography and like production sets and stuff. That's pretty cool.
I have a suggestion for you guys. It's kind of along those same lines. And I've done a podcast about it. I used to do a podcast called Film Flams, where we would watch a movie and then talk during the movie. So you could like start the movie when we did and follow along.
Okay. Like a commentary track.
Right. Exactly. There was a movie called Escape from Tomorrowland, I think is what it's called. Let me look this up.
Yeah. They filmed it at Disney without Disney knowing.
Yes, I just...
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is such a wild...
It's a horror movie that's... Yeah, they filmed it at like Walt Disney World without, and produced it and released it without Disney being any part of it.
Yeah, and it's a super bizarre movie. Like the movie doesn't make any sense.
Is it World or Land? Did they do it at World or Land?
It's Disney... I want to say it's Disney World.
Oh, so they did in Florida? Okay.
Yeah.
It'd probably be easier to get away with there. The park's bigger.
Well, I'm not even talking about licensing rights, dude.
Well, oh, yeah, that obviously. I'm talking about the filming aspect of it. That, like, it'd be easier to hide the filming aspect.
It's like
and a lot of it was filmed at the Contemporary Resort as well.
Okay.
A lot of it is, you can tell, is green screen. So, like, they probably got the background shots without permission, but then they went and filmed the actual actors on a green screen in front of the background shot. But then some of the shots, you can tell they're just literally at the park. They did it with like DSLRs so that they just look like tourists, because, you know, every tourist at Disneyland has a DSLR these days, so they could just they could completely get away with that. But the guy that made this movie, this is like the only movie he ever made. Like he's directed by Randy Moore, never came out with anything else. But it's a super bizarre movie. It's only interesting because of that backstory. So I don't really know how, you know, how good is the movie really if that's the only interesting part of it.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm gonna throw it on the list.
Oh, I haven't seen this movie, but I have seen this artwork. I think it was on Hulu at one point.
Oh, maybe.
Which obviously it's not on Hulu anymore.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it. I would be shocked if it goes anywhere.
Well, because Hulu's owned by Disney. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder where you could find this because it's not streaming.
I'm sure I can find it somewhere.
I mean, I bet you could buy it, but. Actually, I don't even know if you could buy it because if they, I don't know if they can make a profit off of it, right?
I remember. Well, right. It did release. That was one of those when I worked at the movie store. It did release. It was very limited though. Like when we would get like the new releases, we would get, well, I don't know, maybe 35 copies of the DVD, 35 copies of the Blu-ray of newer titles. That one I remember didn't come out on Blu-ray because they didn't produce it on Blu-ray, and then we only got two copies of it.
Hmm.
So it was very, very limited.
When you look for it on Vudu, it pops up, but you cannot buy it and you can't play it either.
Hmm. I think that like Disney probably does not want to sue them or anything because they don't want to draw attention to the existence of it.
Oh, yeah.
That would be my guess.
A cult thing. And then,
yeah.
Let's see. Escape from Tomorrow. This video is, yeah, you can't buy it on Amazon either.
Oh, wow.
So you worked at
you probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah. I don't remember where we saw it at, but you worked at a video store. Is that like, is it anything like, you know, the cliche, like working at a video store, you like judge people based on their picks and things like that?
No, I don't, but no. Yeah, I do. It depends on the movie, really. Like I'm not like Paul knows I'm not a huge anime fan. So there, my strengths are in, I really do like horror.
Yeah.
So in the store, if someone was looking for something scary, they would be diverted to me and vice versa. I know I'm okay in other genres, but horror is definitely the forte that I watch a lot of.
Yeah.
And I'd always recommend stuff, you know, and like I wouldn't be mad at you if you bought, you know, this movie, but I would tell you a movie that's similar, that's better.
Yeah.
But if you enjoy it, that's all that matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? For sure. I remember working at Best Buy on Black Friday. So like normally we wouldn't ring people up at the Geek Squad counter, but like on Black Friday, it's like everybody rings everybody up. And on Black Friday, people are coming through with those like dollar Blu-rays and stuff. And I would just be like looking at the movies like, hey, this is a pretty good movie. It's
like Aliens in the Attic. This is great. This would be awesome.
Yeah. Pluto Nash. What?
No one told me that was over there. I would have got it.
Yeah. Drat.
That's funny.
Yeah, that's my thing. It's like when I was younger, I'd probably be more pretentious than if I was in that position. But now I'm to the point, man, if it makes you happy, man, watch whatever the hell it is you want. It may not be for me, you know, even with me and Dustin, like there's movies we don't agree on. Like we got like Black Phone. We got into it about Black Phone recently.
Golly, don't bring that up.
I haven't seen Black Phone. It didn't look. It didn't look interesting to me.
if you don't like thrillers, then it's not gonna be for you. But that's the thing is, like, I think, you know, this is a problem, especially with movies that are made by big companies. They release trailers making you think it's one thing when that's not what the desired intent of the film was. Because I remember when Crimson Peak came out,
we talked about this.
The Guillermo del Toro. I'm a big Guillermo del Toro fan, so. That movie is a romance. It is a love story.
It's an American Gothic, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Del Toro was making. But the studio sold it as a horror film. And so when people went to go see a horror film and it wasn't scary, because it's not, people were mad about it. And Del Toro came out afterwards and said, that's not my intention. I did not want them to release this trailer, but I don't control the trailers. The company who paid for me to make this movie does, unfortunately, which Crimson Peak is an absolutely beautiful film. But you got to go into it knowing it's a love story with a horror backdrop. And,
right.
which is what Del Toro is really good at, which is mm-hmm. what Shape of Water is very similar.
Yeah.
It's a love story with a horror drop, Universal Monsters backdrop. It's like, so it's just like, he's like, look, I love monsters and horror, but I don't want to make scary movies necessarily entirely. I just want to use that aesthetic, and that's what he does.
Right.
Sure.
So I think that's why I love him. He did. I mean, Devil's Backbone is pretty scary, but other than that, most of his movies, like I said, are just horror settings with other stories going on.
I like the bait and switch thing, either where a movie is like advertises one thing and then whenever you go see it, it does something else, but it does it really well. Or whenever there's a movie that like starts one way, but then it's like takes like a hard, like From Dusk Till Dawn, like hard left turn, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I just like that sort of thing. Cabin in the Woods. That's what I was leading up to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cabin in the Woods was great.
I was like, oh, this is going to be just a fun slasher film or whatever. I'll go see this. But me and a bunch of buddies went. So I saw it in Amstar, actually. I saw it in Anderson. I was like, we're going to go see it. And I was like, this will be fun. And it's 10 minutes of the movie and it's completely different. And I'm like, I am on board. It turned out to be way better than what I went to go see.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's in my top 10 as far as personally for me, horror films. I'm not as deep cut when it comes to horror like Dustin is, but that's up there for me.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one.
So, yeah, now, Paul, you said that you're into wrestling. You're even considering doing a wrestling podcast. That is a genre that I've never gotten into. Like, I don't know the first thing about wrestling. I know nothing at all I know about wrestling. Dustin, are you also into wrestling? Is that like something you guys share, or are you like me?
Okay, so we're the three steps here. So
yeah,
if you exactly. know nothing,
I know nothing.
He's the casual fan, and
okay.
I am the hardcore. So as you can see to my left, you can't see them all.
See, I didn't even notice that. You could have told me that was anything. I wouldn't have noticed till you pointed it out.
The one on top here, that's the AEW Women's Tag Belt, or Women's Championship. That's the AEW Tag Belt. You can't see down here barely. That's the WWUS Championship. Over here where you can't see, I do have the big gold, the old Ric Flair belt.
Yeah.
I have SmackDown Tag Belt, NXT Champion Belt, and I have WWE Cruiserweight Belt with a purple strap, which they don't have anymore, but that's just my beginning, and that's only half of what Blake has. Blake has 13 belts.
Yeah, I see Blake all the time posting stuff about wrestling. He's way into it. So why do you think that podcast genre is like harder to break into than the movie critic podcast genre?
Well, it's hard to say. So like with wrestling, because with movies, there's different genres. There's something for everyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
With wrestling, is like either you're a wrestling fan,
yeah,
or you're not a wrestling fan. That wrestling is the genre, and when it comes to wrestling, it's constantly changing. There's new episodes every week. There's new updates, new wrestlers, new stories, real life, and all this stuff. So unless you're doing a podcast, like there's a podcast I listen to. Can I plug it? Say other plug? Going in Raw is one I listen to, and they just basically break down what's going on with like. After Monday, they'll do a Monday Night Raw review, but they do every single wrestling show all week. That includes they do Impact Wrestling, which is used to be TNA, and like, but fans listen and they get a really good big following, and a lot of people listen because not everybody has the time to sit down and watch mm-hmm. all of this wrestling.
Yeah,
but it's easier to say you're at work to plug in a podcast and go, I'll catch up this way if I miss the show this week.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of shows like that. And honestly, the wrestling podcast community is so flooded by former wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is a lot of former wrestlers.
Yeah, and it's one of those markets that fans only want to hear from the people who are in the business for the most part. They don't really care about listening to other fans' opinions. They just want the wrestling community is the worst. Out of all nerddom that exists ever, wrestling community is the worst, and it's not close. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it still is comprised of 50 and 60 year old dudes who come from an era that are pretty sexist, pretty racist.
Yeah, yeah.
And homophobes and stuff like that. And modern wrestling isn't what it was even 20 years ago. Like, there's a wrestler right now who wrestles in GCW who his name is Effie, and he's a gay wrestler and a very, very open, and that's part of his big gimmick. And guys like this just like their older school wrestlers who don't want to see that. They're older school wrestling fans who see a guy who may even just act effeminate, who's not even a gay wrestler, and that's too much for them. So it's just, the community is terrible. I mean, now every nerddom has those neck beards, just like, you know, Star Wars has a bottle out of bad of them, but like it's wrestling fans are just, it's 90% of them, dude. It's 90% of wrestling fans are just, you go to an AEW show, they're the worst. Like, at least with WWE, you still see a lot of kids. And a lot of families are just buying tickets to bring their kids. It's a lot of fun. You go to an AEW show, it's a bunch of elitist, like just the worst stench, the worst attitudes, just the worst people. And it's just, oh, God. It sucks, too, because, you know, my son's really into it, and I bring him with us. And it's just so much more fun to go see WWE live than it is AEW live. So I don't know if I'll see AEW live anytime soon. I know this is all Chinese to you probably, but
yeah, I got no idea what any of this is talking about.
You know what the WWE is, if you don't watch it, everyone knows the WWE.
Yeah,
WWE,
I even played the video game. I remember when I was a kid playing like wrestling video games and stuff, but like I didn't know. My grandfather actually was a wrestler, like a semi-pro, like around here. He was like the heel. He wrestled Ric Flair. I have like pictures of him wrestling Ric Flair.
Territory days.
Yeah he was like, I think what it was like every little town had like a dude that the popular wrestlers would come beat up, and he was that guy.
Yeah. Like, was it Randy Mulkey and all those guys are from this area too. And, but yeah, that's back in the day in the NWA. So that was what they called the territory days.
Yeah.
This is before basically WWE dominated everything. But Ric Flair was in NWA, and NWA had a bunch of different, they had a Florida territory, the Carolina territories and stuff like that. And Ric Flair was the champion. And he would just travel, him and all the major guys, all over. And eventually, you know, WCW started, Vince spread out WWE, and the rest is history. So,
but yeah. So, where do people find your podcast? How do they subscribe to it?
We're on just about every podcast hosting platform. So we have Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher. And it's the Flicks and Friends podcast. We have a TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything.
That's awesome, man. I'd love to do one sometime. If you guys ever need, need anybody, I'll definitely,
what movie do you want to do?
Definitely.
Yeah. What movie you want to do?
Troll 2. That's, that's my go-to.
Troll 2. I haven't seen that movie in years.
The not Troll sequel.
Right. Yeah. It has nothing to do with Troll.
I'm down with it, man. I love that movie.
I haven't seen it in years, so I'd be down to rewatch it.
I might need to pick something else, because that's like always on several podcasts I've done now. That's my go-to, like, good bad movie. I need to come up with something else, but it is a great bad movie. If somebody wants to email you guys a movie suggestion, how do they do that?
We got the email address. It's flicksandfriendspodcast@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And they can, even if they wanted to, like all the socials, it's the same thing, except Twitter. Twitter is F_F podcast. Everything else is Flicks and Friends Podcast. You can search that on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. Throw your suggestions there as well.
All right. Thank you guys for coming on, and hope we talk in the future.
Absolutely. Trolls 2.
Thank you for having us on,
bro. All right. Appreciate it, man.